a March 13th board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the minutes from the March 30th special meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the budget actual reports for the month of March.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to approve the payment of bills from the April 10th abstract.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now, we're gonna come to a couple of public comment period. Everybody gets 5 minutes tonight because there's a lot of people signed up. So Jessica will time you. And we're ready. Mr. Crane.
Got a little handout. Not as big as last time.
Oop, somewhere in here.
Okay, the first page is, I gave you this same graph last time, but this is just as a little reminder that over the last 600 million years, it's mostly been a lot warmer than it is now. You'll see down in this lower right-hand corner where we are now, and here's the part on the black line. So some scientists even say we're actually in the carbon drought. So it's very little carbon. So that's a nice visual symbol. And on the next page, there's an article about research that was done by Columbia Climate School in New York City. And for instance, it says a study of vegetation across New York City in some densely populated adjoining areas has found that on many summer days, photosynthesis by trees and grasses absorbs all the carbon emissions produced by cars, trucks, and buses, and then some. The surprising result, based on new hyperlocal vegetation maps, points to the underappreciated importance of urban greenery in the carbon cycle. And there's a link here to go read the article and take a look at the graphs. But this vegetation, greenery, a much better way to spend grant money, to spend money from climate action, would be on reforestation, on protecting small farms, on funding people to put gardens in their backyards, because there is a photosynthesis cycle and it really does take carbon from the air in a very efficient and very scientific way. And on the next page, two pages back, there's another petition. This one signed by 1,500 scientists globally. And they point out that CO2 is plant food. It's the basis of all life on Earth. It's not a pollutant. Their statement here at the top is to believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe when you hear people say the science, it's computer models they're talking about. To believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. This is precisely the problem of today's climate discussion, to which climate models are central. Climate science has degenerated into a discussion based on beliefs, not on sound, self-critical science. We should free ourselves from the naive belief in immature climate models. In future, climate research must give significantly more emphasis to empirical science. And then, two pages later, with a nice pretty picture of a cow, is the biogenic carbon cycle. Because climate action, people talk about methane as being a dangerous greenhouse gas. So let's break it down. Grass absorbs CO2 from the air, via photosynthesis. The cow eats this grass and its carbon. In the cow, the carbon is turned into methane. Methane is then released into the air. The methane is then broken down in the atmosphere into water and CO2. Then it rains and the cycle repeats. So there is a carbon cycle that nature has provided. It works very, very well. And then the last page is Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, in his annual letter to shareholders, said that we should evoke eminent domain because we're not getting enough solar panels on the ground quickly enough to suit Mr. Dimon. So he says, permitting reforms are desperately needed to allow investment to be done in any kind of timely way. We may even need to evoke eminent domain. We're simply not getting the adequate investment fast. And you know what eminent domain is. It's a land grant, and you get paid bottom dollar. So that's one of the things that land grab is definitely part of the mix of the current climate action business. So thank you. That's the end of mine.
Thank you.
Brian, I thought it might be useful for people to hear what Philmont's Climate Smart Community Task Force does and to make a distinction between.
Can you speak up, please?
Yeah. If I may speak, I thought it might be useful to know there's a distinction between the Climate Act of New York State and the Climate Smart Task Force of Philmont. And I thought it might be useful for you to know that some of the things, the money, the grants that the Climate Smart Task Force, so I'll just refer to that as the task force, has been used for is to upgrade the electrical work at our water treatment facility. And that was a very old system, and the upgrades will save money for the village over time. They're immediately saving the village money. And that was part of a $35,000 grant. Part of that money was used to upgrade that. We are now in the process of doing the next thing we're using the grant money for is to do an audit of the municipal buildings to see where we could maybe save money by insulating or with the electric or something like that. We're also getting a review of the water treatment facility building beyond the electric, a more comprehensive one. and Tom could give you the particulars of that. But that is a very important building to us. It's our clean, it's our water system. And Philmont, that's one of the major services we provide. And so keeping that running efficiently and effectively is going to be very important for our village. Those are some of the things we've done. There's no large scale tracts of land in Philmont for any solar farms. Yeah.
Our Climate Smart Committee has done exactly what we've asked of them. They've made us more efficient. And if nothing else, they've made everybody more aware. There's nothing wrong with being aware. I mean, if everybody's thinking about it, it'll get better. It can't get any worse. And Tom has done a lot. I mean, he's upgraded. He's done a lot of work on the sewer plant. It's made us more efficient, which in turn saves us money. So what we've asked them to do, they have done, and they've done it well. They're going to continue to work for us. And they're an advisory board or advisory committee. We have to approve their ideas. It's just like the comprehensive plan. That's an advisory document. Whether it gets approved or not by us, we'll know when it's done. But our Climate Smart Committee has done the job that we've asked them to do.
forward.
All right, moving on. Mr. Doyle.
Yeah, thank you. So I've been doing a lot of reading lately, and I've been reading The Grid, and I've been reading The Unpopular Truth, again, about electricity and how it's distributed, and most importantly, California Burning, which is basically a book about the corruption and the extreme dysfunction of the utility companies, specifically PG&E, but actually it really relates to all of the utility companies, which I'm doing more research and I'll give you some facts and more things in later meetings. But the main thing is that the Climate Act of 2019 does not mention wood burning. Does not mention it. It only mentions fossil fuels, which there's plenty of argument about how they can attain certain things. But one thing we know is that the grid as it exists now, and you can look it up all you want because it's everywhere, cannot possibly deal with the renewables in the timeline that the 2019 Act has put together. It is absolutely physically, physics, everything impossible, because of the stiffness of the grid related to taking these surges of wind and solar. So it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work in the short term. Maybe it'll work in the long term, but the entire grid has to be re-engineered. But what's really important for me and my family in the village of Philmont, and I think everybody else, is that we must have security of being able to live and to stay warm. I want to make a suggestion that the trustees make a resolution in the village of Philmont under the home rule to make it in perpetuity that all residents in this village can burn wood forever. And that if you cannot burn wood, if you're prevented from burning wood, then you're prevented from being able to keep warm. It's not against the law now, and my feeling is, and see what you think in your workshop to talk about it, but a resolution to guarantee the rights of the residents to burn wood in order to keep warm and to be secure in their homes. If they pull off this thing of all electric, which I don't think they can do, we gotta have a place to be warm. And if they're gonna cut off propane and oil, you gotta have a place, and we've got it. And it's a renewable, and it's extremely clean right now because you can get a hybrid stove, which I ordered last month, which does both catalytic conversion and the recycling. And it's an amazing efficiency both for the use of the wood and also for the atmosphere. I feel very strongly that this board needs to consider making a resolution that is in the home rule spirit of protecting the rights of the people in this village, because we know best, you know best, that we can burn wood forever. That's my resolution. Hopefully you can put it together in a legal way and make it work, but I can't imagine somebody being against that. By the way, I apologize, I have to leave because I'm in the middle of rehearsal. So, I appreciate the time.
Have a good night. Peter? Yep.
Okay, I have three things I'd like to bring up to the board. The first is, last April, a year ago, the county received $391,761 as a first payment on the opioid litigation. And as we all know, Philmont has problems with opioid addiction. So the county's received this money a year ago, and I'm wondering what the village of Philmont has done to make sure that they receive some of the benefit from that money. Now, opioids and related illicit drugs account for the highest portion of death for groups, for the group between age 18 and 45. more than auto accidents, more than cancer. So will someone on the trustees take responsibility to make sure that we're not left out?
I already talked about that tonight beforehand, and Rob is going to...
I can't hear you.
We already talked about that beforehand, and Rob is going to look into the money at the county level and get back to us about it.
Okay, good, so it's moving.
Yes.
The money hopefully will come in so we can do some programming to address this.
Hopefully they'll ask for local input on the spending of that, yes.
Yeah, well, it's been a year or so.
Rob, explain that to him, what you explained to us.
No, I mean, I don't have any specific details at this time, but there's limitations on what the money can be used for, and it's supposed to help and assist the problem and the crisis of opioid addiction. It'll be up to the county as to how that's spread amongst the municipalities. I don't suspect that they're just gonna issue a check, so every municipality has to develop its own solution or program, but it's still early on.
So it's not been spread out yet? No, nobody has received it?
Other than the county.
And who at the county should we reach out to if we want to be a squeaky wheel?
I mean, PJ Keeler is the county treasurer's on that committee, and I don't know off the top of my head who else. But like I said earlier, I'll get that information and get it back to the board.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, just from a police department standpoint with that, we actually, part of that, and I'm sure that the money, you know, the cost of the Narcan and things like that had come out of that money or whatever. But the health department came out here, we had our annual training, went over all the new protocols, the new doses of the Narcan that they're distributing. They distributed the Narcan to us at no charge for all of our officers, for our patrol cars. We also ordered for a box for the community center, for the library, for McMahon's and here, where it will be, Narcan will be accessible if need be to the general public in those areas.
I just want to say that's after the fact. Isn't there some kind of intervention possible before you're at that dire condition?
Peter Stoll.
Okay, that was a good point. But let me move on to my second point, which deals with budget item, I assume QuickBooks, 2555. Now, I'm sure that the board is deeply concerned about the transparency of its budget because the budget represents tax dollars. Now, 2555 deals with all the income coming to the village from the building inspector. It is not disaggregated, so we do not know how much money that is on that line comes from inspection of rental properties. And as you know, all residential rental properties must be registered. And the fee for that is $50. That $50 fee has not changed in 3 years. And as I understand state law, and you have counsel that can correct me if I'm wrong, fees such as inspections must be covered 100% by the fee. So the cost of the person going and inspecting, you know, the wonderful structures owned by, say, Bill Geller or others of his ilk, which are going to take some time against that checklist. I'm wondering how that can be done for $50. Furthermore, many units that are rental properties here are more than two units. Remember over on Garden Street, that was six units that got burned up. Yet you're still charging $50. How can you pass this cost of inspection on to us taxpayers when it's not possible to do an inspection in three or four or five or six units and still charge $50? I'm subsidizing a private sector for-profit operation by not charging the fee required by state law, that you have to have a fee that covers the actual costs of those inspections. And as we've discussed before, at the rate of inspection, It will be sometime in the 2030s before the first inspection occurs on many of these properties. So by not having this transparency, the result is you put all the funds together, but you really don't know if you're covering the cost. And I would suggest furthermore that the $50 can possibly cover the labor cost of inspecting a building with 3, 4, 5, 6 units. And the third thing I'd like to raise is, as you know, this the county's Economic Development Commission now has Chris Brown as the housing coordinator. And there will be significant state money dealing with housing, which we really term housing that your children can afford to buy. So I'm wondering who on the board will be the liaison with the CEDC Housing Committee, so that again, Philmont is not left outside of the distribution of this money, which is again taxpayer, largely taxpayer money. That's it for this evening.
We discussed that too earlier about grants. This is a particularly important year for getting grants. And so we are strategizing about how to work with our limited budget and means to access as much grant funding as possible. And we welcome, actually, you know, we know in Philmont we have a very energetic community that likes to participate and cares a lot about this community. And so we need some help with grant writing and even, you know, that's a specific skill, but, you know, people could also help identify grants. You know, people who are good at research could help identify grants and in different ways, you know, come up with the deadlines and things like that. So please get in touch with Jess if you're interested in helping out and volunteering.
So, Mr. Speed, the others had received these few things.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, this is about there are many things that come together here, but you've seen this chart about the electromagnetic spectrum and how all living things tie into various of the frequencies here. And I know that part of the proposed solution for a climate situation is to change over to things like the LED lights. And I did my job some years ago, put in this LED light. Full spectrum, you know, a wonderful thing. And then after I learned by the hard knocks of life that there are problems with the electrical equipment that we're using more and more these days, where my health just bottomed out until I figured out what was going on, then when I was able to get some detectors, I found out that this has quite a hefty electromagnetic field around it. And a person like me should not be sitting in it. And if you really care about your health, then it would be a good idea not to be exposing yourself to things like this as a regular thing. So I'm saying that in trying to solve what we perceive, some of us, as one problem, we are perhaps unwittingly setting ourselves up for other disasters, like that these units here have electrical problems in terms of the fields that are created for human beings. And we see also that the autism rates keep going up and up and up. I wanted to share with you, I had saved this from a few years ago. It has links on the back of the connection between wireless and autism. And because I've studied so much about the voltage-gated calcium channels that are in the cell membrane, because that is what was bothering my heart from the cordless phones. Now, this is specifically wireless, but all, here, you can have it too. But all electrical equipment has these fields to them that are abnormal relative to the background electromagnetic fields of the Earth. And they are causing problems. And this is actually quite serious with the autism bit. There's like an hour-long presentation about exactly how this comes about. Because in utero, the child's brain, the synapses are connections between in the nervous system are being formed. And these wireless radiations are interfering. Now, sometimes with a child, the obvious effects of the autism spectrum don't become obvious until like age two or so. So I think that if you'd read through there and there's a YouTube that on the back page, the emerging link between wireless and autism. They understand the mechanism. The same mechanism is being triggered by chemicals as well, and the two will work synergistically with each other to make the matter worse. And so I just want us to understand that by trying to solve our problems by installing more electrically driven devices might not be in our best interest. And it's certainly not in my interest, because my health has already been compromised by being exposed. What really did it for me is that I was working very much in my upstairs office computer room, and the people below me installed a higher powered router, and I was being exposed a great deal, and also the cordless phone. So there we go. Anyway, a word to the wise. Yeah, it gives some advice on what to shut off. Thank you.
Hannah.
Okay, it's very wise, so I like what she says. Anyway, I just want to bring up a newspaper article from the Register Star, Wednesday, March 22nd. I assume that Deborah probably read it. Village embroiled in climate task force flap. So Deborah was an email correspondence with Michael Richardson, who's a resident of Chatham. And so Michael speaks about, at the last workshop meeting, so a month ago, there were 30 climate-denying conspiracy theorist residents present at this meeting. I'm just pointing out, it's not me, it's in here. And I just wondered, Deborah, did you say that to Michael Richardson? Or did he just make
I can
it
give
up?
Background.
No, she was taken out of context.
Well, it's just, I mean, that's
and it was a private conversation, and the Register Star was contacted about it, and I'll let you, anyway, you handle it.
That article, I did not read it because I don't read the Register Star. But again, as I said earlier in the meeting, our Climate Smart Committee has done everything we've asked them to do, and they're going to continue to work on stuff for us because we asked them, we created it. What that article said, she never read it to me over the phone, and it was garbage. The whole article was garbage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also quoting, you know, many of them were from Stand-Up Massachusetts, an extreme libertarian group from Great Barrington. No. It's like, who would You know that the register stuff, I mean, I don't ever read it either. So 250, just to...
Anybody that's sitting in this room knows that that article's garbage, because I have not...
Do it? But did we print a retraction?
Yeah, they didn't.
I don't care about the Register Star. Yeah. I don't care what that says. You people sitting in this room know that that was garbage. You know that that didn't happen that more.
As Deborah sits on her phone there ignoring us? Yeah?
All right. Enough.
Just because I know several people wrote to the Register Star. Whether it was written, whether they responded, or I actually don't know, but it certainly was on the first page of the Register Star. I'm just pointing out, Philmont is in a bad light there, because that is just bad. And it makes me wonder how much like this is on public radio and public, you know, the propaganda machine. I think we all have to be extremely careful, because the church judging doesn't help anybody. It's extremely divisive. And I mean, I'd like to know, who did you decide to put on the climate task force? It's like, who?
Tom Pano was the head of it.
So, but who put
Deborah Gitterman?
I'm just curious.
Deborah Gitterman is our liaison to the task force, and they pick the members.
Who's the
name? The task force itself.
Yeah. I just want to say one more incident. A couple of months ago, I spoke to another person of Climate Task Force, and that person said to me, if it was me, the whole of mankind should be obliterated from the planet Earth. Okay.
What did you say? Sorry, I couldn't understand you.
Yes, that person from the Climate Task Force said to me, if it was me, the whole human race should be obliterated from the face of the earth. It's like, you know, is that people that are in the climate task force? Sorry, Tom, wasn't you, but it's just like, we need to have a conversation. And I mean, that's why, you know, why many of us keep coming to the meetings, to have the conversations. And as far as solar panels go, California, Governor Newsom, he first, solar panels were considered toxic waste. But then all these old solar panels, it's like, shoot, what are we going to do with those things? Well, let's just put it in the dump. So we're going to end up with the same issue here in New York State. Just warning.
Okay, thank you. Tracy?
I think I said pretty much everything I wanted to say. I thought Deborah had something to do with this. I really do hope you didn't, because it really is an affair. It just feels... Can I just say what I feel from my heart? I talked to Tom last week. I asked about the bulbs, whatever, a couple weeks ago. And you're like, we just smashed them. And you're this, I'm sorry, I don't know your name,
Jason.
The second guy, Jason. You put a like on the Facebook thing for the article, even if it wasn't true. I'm just saying, like, we're concerned. I don't think we're weirdos that we think something funny might be going on in the government. I mean, can you please be considerate about that much? I mean, please.
If you feel like we're treating you like weirdos, I'm sorry. I mean,
we do feel that.
Never not let anybody speak. Everybody speaks in these meetings.
I see that. By the way, I don't mean that.
The meetings are broadcast on the radio. Everybody can hear them.
Yeah.
We have never said a derogatory word about anybody in this room.
I appreciate that. I'm just speaking from my heart what I'm feeling.
Yep.
You know, well, obviously doesn't sound very rehearsed.
you shouldn't.
Thank you.
We listen to everybody.
The article was very upsetting, as you can imagine.
Yes, it was, and that's why I don't read the Register Star. Donna?
Thank you.
March 13th, a proposal for the consideration of the trustees was presented during the monthly meeting. It was requested, and the board agreed to have open meetings to discuss the village's ongoing participation in the Climate Smart Community Program and whether this participation should be terminated as per this proposed resolution. There's a copy of it, that's page one. Then, as mentioned before, on March 22nd, the Register Star published an inaccurate article. That's page 2 for those of you that want to read it. And it's unknown whether the trustee mentioned in that article was acting as a trustee of the board, a private citizen, or as a member of the Climate Smart Task Force, which would be dissolved should this proposed resolution be enacted by the board. We can't provide any copies of these or other correspondences. However, we can hope that they'll be voluntarily provided so that freedom of information requests or conflict will not be necessary. A copy of the newspaper article, the second page. Subsequent to that newspaper article, a letter was submitted to the editor. And this beacon of truth has, of course, not chosen to publish that letter. I provide a copy of that letter, that's page 3. So let's step back just for a minute and ponder what might be going on here. A small group of citizens in the small village of Philmont has petitioned their government for the right to openly discuss a resolution which is of utmost importance to the welfare of their community. As free citizens, this is their right. Their board, which is entrusted with the welfare of the village and its citizenry, is morally bound to respond to this request. There seems to be some confusion about whether the board or its members are subverting public discussion of this proposed resolution. It doesn't take too much imagination to understand what might be really going on here. If a village anywhere in the state of New York, even a small one such as ours, were to publicly question the climate change agenda as promoted through the Climate Smart Community Program, the effects could be far-reaching and devastating. And I think that's why we're seeing that media response. They came back like a ton of bricks on our meeting, spreading all kinds of lies, misinformation. They wanted to try this issue in the court of public opinion, rather than encouraging what we've simply asked, which is one or more workshops where we can discuss it. And today we have not discussed it. It's been a one-way interchange. There's been no meeting of the minds. There's been no discussion. So I think we owe it to each other to provide opportunities for amicable and reasoned discussion of any issues as important as these. So I'd like to finish by asking, when does the board plan to schedule initial public discussion? Well, as promised last month.
No, I promised you last month that we were going to discuss it at our workshop, and we did.
You did not.
We discussed this.
You may have, but you agreed to have a public discussion.
After we discussed this at our workshop first.
That workshop was canceled.
No, there was
that
one.
Workshop was canceled.
It was canceled.
It was not on the calendar.
There was one canceled, the last workshop. The last workshop, but there was also one scheduled for the next night.
I didn't see any notification of that.
Wasn't there notification?
How many of us attended that workshop?
Wasn't it on the website?
I believe there was. It was you sent
this
out
meeting
the...
wasn't on the website.
No. The notices.
So please,
if this meeting is not, there's something wrong with the website.
Have it. Okay. So tonight. Again, I ask, when can we have the public meeting that you agreed to allow us to have? A public discussion.
What we agreed on last meeting was that we were going to discuss this at our workshop, which happened. What was discussed is that there isn't, we're not going to pass any of these.
Okay, I don't want to discuss the details of it with you right now. I want to be able to have an opportunity to discuss it.
Like a town hall meeting.
Yeah, I think the spirit of governance is really in question here. And it's really troubling to me. I'm a veteran, okay? The reason that you're able to sit there is because people like me serve this country. Last month, I heard very clearly that there would be an opportunity for public discussion. There was no confusion in my mind or anyone else's mind that attended that meeting, just what that meant. It didn't mean that you would have a workshop that was not publicized and talk about it among yourselves. Now, I'm going to leave it to you to do whatever you choose to do. I'm sure that I'm over my five minutes, but this is not right. And please don't tell me, elect your person into office. That's not what a trustee should do. That's not your job. You should respond to the will of the people.
Thank you.
Reports from the directors and the committees. Rob?
Nothing new to report, just ongoing projects that the trustees are aware of.
Clerk Treasurer.
Water bills were mailed out on March 30th and they're due for the end of April with no penalty. Delinquent tax notice for current priors were mailed on April 6th. The total amount due is $66,994.34, with $11,748.93 being owed for current year and $55,245.41 owed for prior years. We're currently working on the tax rolls to submit to the county. They're due to them by May 1st, and village taxes will go out at the end of May. We had a meeting with Rich Mazdet regarding insurance for the village for the year. Participated in a webinar in regards to updates on ARPA reporting requirements. Had a high volume of requests for death certificates and notaries. Worked closely with DPW to coordinate upcoming projects. And work closely with Dan Valentine from Time Bond in regards to the RFP for the water tank rehab project.
Building inspector.
I'll read for Lee since Lee's not here. Tenancy COs issued 11, tenancy inspections 11, rental registrations issued 6, building permits 4, construction inspections 3, and CO searches 6. There is a narrative here about the broken terrace apartment's elevator that's broken by a roof leak that water got into there. Some of you may have heard this in the community. That's why I'm bringing it up. There was an incident there. We have nothing to do with the functionality of that elevator, although we're working with the owners to get it fixed as soon as possible at the terrace apartments. That's it.
Library.
All right. Toby couldn't be here. She wants to thank Dave Wolovice, Patrick Farley for installing new light, and Doug Cropper for replacing the outlet at the back corner of the Cultural Center. Let's see. We have the James Baldwin program, which has been killing it. We had over 30 attendees of the last one. We had an art lecture, Victory Garden presentation, which was great, and volunteer prep / planting days. We are continuing to work on our grants to pay for part of the LaBerge group, which should be a $10,000 grant to offset some of that cost. Will be submitted by the end of this month. It was originally due this week, but we got a couple extra weeks to work on it, which is great. There were 90, February in-person attendance was 90 plus, and over 250 kids from Taconic Hills were there to promote the Battle of the Books. Let's see what else is important on here that we gotta talk about. We did not get the grant for this. This is a big bummer for me specifically. We did not get the grant, or the county did not get the grant for the summer program that Clawbrook puts on. So it's gonna be a diminished program this year. Last year we wrote a grant for that also, which paid for all the kids to go to 4 different field trips that were ocean themed, like the books they're reading. So I'm hoping we can still write that this year and possibly at least have the field trips available for the kids if possible. A lot of low income kids do not get to leave the village very often, which is super important. And that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Community Center, Mr. Kraft.
Okay, Julie's report for March. Under facility, the center's been checked regularly during the month. DPW will address some issues with the door entries. There were 2 rentals for family parties. Under programming, the Cub Scouts are using the center, and Weeblos will also be using the center now. March 4th, the CPR course was held and 6 attended. Crocheting under the guidance of Kim Simmons is taking place on Thursdays at 3:30. Everyone is welcome and supplies are available for beginners. On March 18th and 19th, the New York State Safe Boating class was taught by me and Mrs. Veronese. 9 participants will be receiving certificates from New York State. It was an enthusiastic group.
That's good.
And she makes a note that programs and presenters are always welcome. If anybody wants to do a program for adults or kids or both, contact this is very easy and she'll have a chat with you. That's fine.
Burn.
For month of March, we had 12 calls for service, 70 property checks, issued 6 UTTs, 34 VUT warnings. And also, as I stated, met with Toby at the library for the beginning stages of setting up that emergency evacuation plan. And so that's now started.
Do you have a workplace violence person for us this year?
Yes.
Can we get him scheduled for the next workshop?
Yes.
Thank you. Sally.
Okay, good evening, everybody. So just so that anybody who doesn't normally come to the meeting, I read out the go for the province 2 months, the go grant, and the LWRP, which is for the motion, and the entire copy that copy pasted into the minutes. So if anything, you can kind of go back and read, because it's really just a report about the activities and the update of what happened in the motion. So the Boa Grant Committee meeting, which was normally is held at the last week of the month, wasn't held for various logistic reasons. One of which was the election and then changing the seats and then the mayor appointing Bob McFarlane, who's the chair of the planning committee, to be the co-chair. So we needed to be able to kind of do an orientation meeting for the next meeting to be able to bring Mr. McFarlane up to speed. So a welcome package was prepared for Bob McFarlane, who was appointed by Mayor Johnson to co-chair the Boa Grant Committee. Package contained a detailed outline of both the Boa and the LWRP funded grant activities and the relevant work plans for both grants. All of this is available on the village website. If you go and want to look at the work plan for either one of those, or you're going to go to all its, you know, accessible information. So the April Boa Grant Committee, which is scheduled for April 25th, is going to be held as an orientation meeting to bring Mr. McFarlane up to speed on all of the activities, the budget, the timelines, the sub-area community-based working groups, of which you're all welcome to volunteer and join, open door to you, and the local match requirements. Number 4, PB Inc. is working on a draft of the RFP, which is a request for proposals for the grower grant work plan, which by the way has already been done. These will be in for the end of March, but that's already been done, it's already been approved, and we're moving ahead on that, which I'm really pleased on. Okay, so that's under the Boa grant updates, the LWRP, which is the watershed management plan. The kickoff meeting was held on March 8th with Lavella Associates, who was hired as the planning consultant hired through a competitive process for the Aquamanic Creek watershed management plan. The attendees included the DOS, Barbara Sorrell, who's the chair of the Watershed Advisory Committee, with members and participating towns of Claverack, Ghent, Hillsdale, and Ostrich. So after working for a year with all of those participating towns and crafting a real understanding of what a watershed management plan is, what the objectives of all the towns, the connection of the watershed, which is 14,000 acres, and it feeds into the lake, and so everything that's happening in the watershed is affecting our lake. So that's what the basis of the watershed management plan is, to really go in there and look and work with the towns. So we're really pleased that Lavella Associates got hired, and a really good planning company, a very good working community, and community participation. So that's that, and then the other component in the report is the Village of Philmont Historic Districts. Quick update, a successful and informative presentation was held in the Village Hall on March 15th. The presentation was delivered by three staff members of the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO, who additionally addressed questions from over 40 attendees regarding the nomination process of the Village of Philmont Historic District to the State and National Registries of Historic Places, and how property owners can access preservation tax credits to assist with the repairs and renovations of eligible properties in the historic district following the nomination. Have to get the nomination. And the time scale on the nomination, we've been working nearly 2 years on this, and the actual nomination is being written. It should be finished by October, and then property owners will be getting letters and asked to vote. And we all hope that you do vote, or you send in a question saying, asking any questions that you have. And there will be a public hearing at some point in October. We've already done four, so that we're spacing them out, every 6 months. And the knowledge of the nomination and the historic district is getting better understood in the community each time we do it. And that's the end of my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Tom?
Yes. So the Climate Smart Task Force. We do have a final draft of the video by the Story Crafters. That'll be presented at our meeting on Wednesday to be sure everyone is okay with it. This is a kind of a promotional video for changing out light bulbs throughout the village. And that there is this free exchange being promoted. It would be great to have that in the Climate Smart section of the website. So once we approve it at our meeting, we could consider have that under consideration. On March 22nd, we met with Jeff Shaw from NYSERDA and also Haley Falconoff, who's with the Capital District Planning Commission. And that was to approve the audits. That's now the two audits for this building, the Village Hall, and the Community Center. So we basically did approve that. And then that led to the question of there's still some money on the table because we didn't do the sewage treatment plant. And so I would like to request a meeting, possibly with Doug and Deborah, to review this building and go over the chart of what the recommendations are. What's going on is the money that we didn't use for the audit can go towards implementing one of the recommended measures for this building. I have a good idea of what it should be, but there's too much back and forth here about. So I need someone who's really knowledgeable about the building, so we can meet and discuss this one chart, all on one chart, so we can figure this out. Because we'll lose the money if we don't. We have to get back to them and tell them how we want to spend the money.
So, okay.
Do you want to schedule that?
Oh yeah, you didn't say when, but we can figure it out.
Okay, all right, so I'll go through Deborah then, and we'll figure out.
Yeah, I'll send an email.
So yeah, we can just do it by email, we'll figure it out.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I'll send one now so that you can,
great,
as a reminder.
And then that leaves doing the, because it's not an exact amount for the measures that they recommended, so there may be some other money on the table that we could get for that. For instance, incentives from the power company. So I'm under discussion with Jeff Shaw, who knows about this, how we might be able to get additional funds to make up the difference of what we do in this building. Then I've sent out, I've got four consultants to do the study for the sewage treatment plant, which is more complex. And I just want to be sure, the everything in the sewage treatment plant, the source is electricity there?
Yes.
Okay, everything.
Except for the backup generator.
Yeah, okay, all right, good. That's what I thought. And I just wanted to be sure I passed that on. The consultants have asked a few different questions. I estimated the capacity at 200,000 gallons a day. Is that about right? Or the design load?
No, I think it's 500,000. We're only running at half.
Oh, okay.
I was going to find that out for you. I was in North Carolina last week. That's why I didn't return your phone call. I can find that.
I figured that out.
I can find that out for you tomorrow morning.
Okay, great.
I'm pretty sure it's 500,000 gallons.
The maximum.
Yeah,
that's max. We're running about 185,000 a day.
You remember.
Through there.
Right, that's what I thought it was about 200, right? But I didn't know what the design load was. So, okay.
Design load is 500.
Okay, great.
Pretty sure.
Okay. All right, good. So I'm, as I get answers here back from these different consultants, hope this is all leading to an estimate of what it would cost for them to do the further study. And I think we could, right. And then once that's done, so I have Jess is putting together some more data on the energy use, so we can use it for this, but we can also use it for the greenhouse gas inventory, which is coming up right after this. And you won't have to do that work again because we'll have it. So thank you, so much for your efforts. And then just lastly, we had meetings with two consultants through the local champions. So one was with Crawford and Associates. We actually get 3 hours of advice from them. This was the first hour. The first hour was on microhydro. And it was a great meeting because it looks like we should be looking possibly not just at the dam to do it. Maybe there might be some other locations, because the dam presents the problem. You have to clear up New York State's classification. If there's any problems there, that has to get cleared up first. So it might make sense to stay away from that. But anyway, we'll give you a report on that. And that, so we, and that was Jan Borker of Crawford and Associates. We also met with Kirsten Wilson from RUPCO to help us with grants, with various projects we're trying to do, and where there could be state money or other grant money to do some of these projects. Both meetings were great, and we split it up like half went with the engineering and the other half went with the grant. That's it.
Thank you. Robin's not here. DPW and water, that would be me. The sweeper's been, the engine's been sent out, fixed, put back in, taken out, sent up again, fixed again.
Oh, man.
Should be in by the end of tomorrow. So the engine did run, it just didn't have any oil pressure. It was a bad pump. And that was done, that came from the factory like that. They had no way of knowing that until they got put in. We've been cleaning up the brush from the storm. They're getting ready to plant that stone of George's up to the community center. I made the form up, and they got to get with you in order to get the spot.
They, Cliff and my daughter Jess were going to take care of that. I don't know if Cliff has already talked to her.
I don't know that. I will ask him again in the morning.
What's the date on the dedication for that? Is there a date yet?
It's already been dedicated.
Oh, that was for. Okay,
yeah,
you're studying the stone.
We just took the stone with us so the kids didn't throw it in the reservoir.
Oh.
And we had a meeting with, I guess she was a doctor of psychology, about housing, and she suggested that Philmont create a new buzzword, we're gonna go for healthy housing. So there's some things coming down the line that we're gonna need to address. And I thought the meeting was very productive, gave everybody a lot of insight on what the potential was. Her job is to deal with, I don't want to say underprivileged kids, less fortunate children in the city. And she was going over the pitfalls of how they live. And I guess that's about it, right? I was in North Carolina for a week, and I want to thank Doug and the girls in the office for handling things while I was gone. The village was still here when I got back, and I was happy to see that. You're next, Doug.
Okay, it was a busy month. Filling in for Ryan, but he definitely has earned a well-deserved vacation. So hopefully had a good time. Glad to see you back. I attended the SHPO presentation on the historical district that Sally arranged for. It was very informative. It was very well done. They answered all of my questions and everyone else's questions very well. Went to the budget meeting. Brian and I went to a pre-bid meeting at the water tower. And that project is going to go ahead. I went to the planning board meeting and I spoke there about the importance of the Essex Trail and its location. I went to an event with, even though Skip was just sworn in tonight, he's already been doing things. We went to an event along with Mrs. Veronese, where we met with Mark Molinaro, Bob Gibson, a lot of people from the county, kind of just putting our face in other people's minds. So when things come up for film up, they remember who we are. Worked on the library a little bit, just that two outlets that were loose needed work. I did call Leggett and he got back to me. We're gonna disable that wire between the memorial field and here, as it's no longer needed, but we're gonna leave the wire up and we're going to leave the meter down there in case we want it for memorial things. Okay, so that's what's happening with that. I taught the New York State Safe Boating class along with Mrs. Veronese. We sent Larry off, had a little event for Larry. Went to the Climate Action Town Hall along with Mr. Speed. We learned quite a bit there. It was well done. I had a conversation with the gentleman from Rural Water and Mr. Sider. He should have all of his ducks in a row as far as getting these reports done correctly now. We had a building department interview. We're going to hire someone to assist with the building department tonight, most likely. It should pass. And that's it.
Last month, we worked on the election. Secondly, most of the stuff that I worked on was concentrated around grants, as usual. And I'm, like I mentioned before, the Berkshire Taconic grant to offset the cost of the LaBerge group is winding its way through the system. We're gonna continue to work on the program for summer school kids. And the biggest grant that we received finally, after almost 2 years of waiting, is we're gonna get the check for the air packs this week. They asked for our checking information, which is great, because that's a huge savings for the village and for the fire department.
Fantastic.
Thanks. Welcome back, yeah, Mr. Speed.
Nothing right yet. I'm warming up. So next meeting, I'll give you a whole bunch.
You haven't forgotten how to do it?
No, I haven't forgotten.
Right. Doug said you've already been going to meetings.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Yep.
Okay.
Deborah?
So, I attended a lot of meetings, the planning board meeting, the budget meeting, the special meeting to vet new building department employee, and the healthy housing meeting, which was very interesting. I also attended the Climate Smart meeting and the meeting to review the energy audit of the buildings, the municipal buildings, and the meeting with the second of the technical experts through the local champions program, Kristen Wilson. And that was very informative. She just has a lot of experience. She worked in Kingston actually managing their budget for their public works. And so, as I was saying, she directed us to places we could go for additional grants and funding to help with some of the projects we need to do here. So we're meeting with them next week, with the Environmental Facilities Corporation group. And I also watched this Navigating Grant Funding webinar, which was very interesting and instructive, and reminded us that there's really an unusually large amount of grant funding available in the coming year, and now's the time to apply for as much as we can. And I went to the Comprehensive Plan Update Committee meeting as well, and we are working on a survey. We're fine-tuning the language for that survey, so you're going to be seeing that soon. And we came up with the logo, and it's a great group that's just working really well together.
And it's very important that everybody fills out the survey if they get it. Fire department.
Quick, I was going to run through this because it's the entire numbers for the year, so get ready. Okay, it's a ride. We had 3 structured fires this year. It's from April 4th through April 2nd of last year to this year. 3 mutual aid structured fires, 5 brush fires, 1 electrical fire in the village, 1 chimney fire in the village, 2 trash fires, 6 burnt food, which aren't necessarily fire, but still require a truck to show up. 3 furnace malfunctions. One was just recently. It was a really serious situation. 6 gas emergencies, 4 carbon dioxide alarms, 8 trees and wires, 1 hazardous condition, could have been anything, 1 pump out when we come to your house and pump out your basement if your something breaks. We will do that service for you because you're a part of your community. 1 property damage auto accident, 5 personal injury auto accidents, 96 EMS calls. We are by far going to be the first person there before any of the ambulances get there. So if anybody wants to become an EMT, we will gladly pay for you to start your training. 9 echo level EMS calls. Those are really serious calls. 3 EMS lift assists, 6 good intent calls, and 24 false alarms, for a total this year of 188 times that truck left the bay with multiple people from your own community to help out. So wow.
I like that report because I can see it without my glasses.
Yeah. If anyone wants to join, come on down. I'm free to give you a tour, too.
That's a lot.
It's free.
All right. Correspondence. The list is on the table, and Jess has got the hard copies in the office. Now we're going to go to water tank bid opening.
Oh, sorry, guys. On the edge of my seat.
Yeah, me too.
It's always so exciting.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
How many bids, Brian? 2?
3. So this is from Amstar of Western New York Incorporated. Total amount of bid, items line 1 through 14, $515,000.
That's for which one?
Water tank. That's for
painting the water tank?
Yeah.
The outside of the water tank?
Both outside and inside. Next one is from Lisa Frank. Come on.
Is that a ceramic paint or epoxy? What kind of paint are they putting on?
It's going to be some kind of epoxy.
And they're all bidding the same product?
Yes. It was all spec'd out in the,
yeah,
in the bid form. We had nothing to do with the specs. It's all the engineering. Must be a state. Sorry.
One year we had that tank done with wax.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Lasted
all this time.
Really?
Yeah.
20 years?
Yeah, we had a diver go in and they
took
the rust out and waxed it.
Huh.
The chlorine wouldn't bother the wax, or the wax wouldn't let it go.
What kind of wax was it?
Blue. SP.
Oh, yeah.
Bidder on this one's Utility Services Company Incorporated. Total amount of this bid is $495,200. It's getting a little better.
Yeah.
Patricia Aldridge, Atlas Paintings and Sheathing Company. I think this is the one that came to the total bid, total amount for this one is $573,000. So it's going to cost some money to get you to have safe drinking water for the next 40 years. I'd like somebody to make a motion to let Ty and Bond look at these and then make their recommendations.
Make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? At least you have an idea of what's going to be happening. And on this too, I think my scheduled test is on schedule. I think next Monday, if there's an interruption in the water, I'm sorry. Hopefully we're gonna go seamless, but I'm not sure it's gonna. I've got it scheduled for the 17th, so be patient, please.
Is that one day or is that?
Well, I'm gonna run it for a week.
Run it for a week.
Yeah, but the initial is gonna be where there's gonna be an interruption, if anything. Once we get it switched over and the transducers take over and do what they're supposed to be doing. There may be a little bit of an interruption. We just got to find out if it's going to work before we shut the tank down.
Right.
I wonder if it's worth this bid.
I don't know. There is a timeline, but I don't have the sheet in front of me.
Do we need a special meeting?
I'll call Dan in the morning. Tell him the bids are here. Tell him.
I just sent him a letter.
Yeah. And then he'll make his recommendation. And then. So Mr. Fitzsimmons.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna need some money.
Skip's got it.
Set us up with the bond people.
Sure.
And get this on the get this rolling.
Brian, one of the DEC grants that I learned about was something called Water Quality Improvement Project Grants, and I'll call them tomorrow and just see.
We're gonna need it by June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
this is happening this year.
Right. Let's see if we can get reimbursed.
We've been trying to get it done for the past five. This is as close as I've ever come, and I'm not stopping now. It's gonna happen. If we can get a grant to help us out after it's done, that's fine.
Okay.
But we're not stopping now. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to accept this warrant for tax relief in the amount of $556,205 and a tax rate of 6.615697 per thousand of assessed value among the overall 0.225114 per thousand increase as passed in the annual budget hearing.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion to hire David Pelis as full-time benefited DPW laborer for the Village of Philmont, an hourly rate of $20.05 per hour, effective April 4th, 2023. Mr. Pelis has attained his CDL. Pay per union contract will go to $20.80 as a machine equipment operator.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept the UPSEU memorandum of agreement.
Motion. Or
we haven't seen it.
Oh, you guys didn't see it?
Well, we haven't seen it.
No.
So we gotta wait.
So I'm not gonna make a motion on that.
Alright, I'll take my motion.
We can talk about that.
Are you on there?
With our labor council
tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Motion to appoint Michael Wedd as a member of the Village of Philmont Library Board of Trustees for a 5-year term to expire September
30th,
2028.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $16,320 from the water maintenance reserve to water fund checking to pay fine bond for the engineering of the water storage tank rehabilitation.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $2,309.13 from library building reserve account to library checking to pay LaBarge for the feasibility study.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to hire Elizabeth Angelo effective immediately as a salaried non-benefited court clerk at the fee rate of $1,000 a month.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to credit count 900 Vicar Lucilla Foundation in the amount of $737. For the sewer portion only of the April invoice due to a water leak.
Motion.
Second.
Can we have a discussion on this, Brian?
What's that?
Can I have a discussion on this?
Yes.
Is that 737, is that the entire amount?
Only, it would be reduced the sewer to the minimum portion. Water would stay what it was billed.
She fixed it the day she found out that there was a leak, and
We did have to process all that water.
Yeah, I think she's asking just for the sewer.
Still have to process all that water.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Plant. Right. But one of the reasons she it went so long is because we didn't, because we, thank you. And so she didn't get it for a full 2 quarters. She didn't get the information that she had a leak for full 2 quarters. But once she got the information, literally, she did it the same day. Just giving some background, because I happened to run into her.
I didn't have any background. That's why I wanted a little more information. Okay. You had your first and second.
I just need a second.
Need a second.
Oh, my first.
You first, yeah.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept the slate of fire company officers as the chief Mark Lena, second assistant chief Brian Ostrander, second assistant chief Kevin Brown. Captain Chris Morehouse, first lieutenant Chris Carlson, second lieutenant Mark Browntree.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. No one unfinished?
We have the resolution.
Sorry.
All right, so we have the resolution approving and endorsing FOMA beautification incidents application to New York State Homes and Community Renewal for funding under the New York State Main Street Program.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now we have no one unfinished.
Yeah, yes.
I don't have anything for unfinished. I don't have anything for new either. I guess we'll have a motion to adjourn. But before we do that, we have to adjourn the memory of Ann Chambers.
Hey,
motion.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I thought we had to. I'm sorry, I was confused.
Motion to adjourn.
It's a motion to adjourn, I'm sorry. That was executive session.
Good night, Fomar.
I was confused about being employed.